It is 10:02 KMSD. It is another Saturday. It is another Coach's Corner. And we start like we start each and every Saturday. The head coach of the Milbank football team, Coach Mick Thompson, on line one. First and foremost, Coach, number one, thanks for joining us. Number two, congratulations on the 38-zip win over Ron Colley. And number three, congratulations on guaranteeing yourself a winning season.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that on all fronts. It feels good to kind of get to the midpoint of the season and having some success that we can build on moving forward and hopefully getting into the playoffs.
Obviously, as we talked about last week quite a bit on Coach's Corner, Ron Colley, very young, quite a bit down this year. You really took it to him early on. They stopped you a couple of times, fumbled the punt. You went in and scored and never looked back. Just kind of handled your business last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give a lot of credit to them, their players and their coaching staff. I mean, they're a well-coached football team. They're just pretty young. Talking to Coach Young last night, they just kind of, you know, they're a little beat up. He said they had something like four shoulder surgeries or something like that, just kind of having a torturous season with health. But they played really hard. They did some things on defense that really we kind of had to adjust to. They blitzed quite a bit and very effectively early on, and you know, our kids kind of had to wake up a little bit, and as a coaching staff, we had to kind of switch the things that we were doing, and I had to switch some of my play calling around just to kind of adjust to what's going on. And yeah, and after we got everything kind of settled down a little bit, then we started kind of grinding away at them. But you know, it's nice to have a stifling defense to back you up on offense the whole time too.
It's interesting, too, because playing a really good team has its own challenges. Playing a team that's down a little bit, sometimes it's tough to get up for those games because it's just more or less, well, you're supposed to win this one.
Yeah. Last week I kind of felt like we maybe got into that trap a little bit. We came out pretty flat against Webster this week. You know, not that that was the main talking point every day, but it was definitely kind of in the front of the kids' minds a fair amount, like that we need to come out and play better and we need to just continue to improve every week. And last week we didn't really prove that we improved much, and this week we made it a point of you got to get better and you got to show it on Friday. And I thought the players did an excellent job of taking that to heart and really came out excited, ready to play last night, and it was fun. And you know, the pink night thing is great and I love doing it, but you know, it can be hard to get them focused on the football game part of it sometimes because they're worried about this and that and what they're going to be wearing and everything. But I thought they did a really good job of staying focused and executing last night.
Yeah. By the way, the pink jerseys look really cool. It was a great visual on our YouTube page to see all the pink jerseys. It really is it's a cool event.
Yeah. And it's just a huge, huge thank you to Deb Boucher and Ellie Fisher for making that whole thing work. And, you know, they support us by buying the jerseys for the freshmen and the new football players every year. And it's an amazing opportunity for those guys to get out and just be a part of something like that. And I agree with you. I think it looks really good. I thought the gold helmets looked really good with the pink jerseys too.
So we go into the next week and things certainly get a lot more difficult from this point on going forward. With all due respect to the teams that you've played, the B schools, the Lakota Techs, no more of them on the schedule. From now on, it's the big boys. It's West Central, it's Madison, and then a playoff game against a really good team. First and foremost, let's get into this coming Friday and the first one of what is going to be two back-to-back tests, and that is going down to West Central to take on a very good team who is 5-2 on the season. Obviously, West Central, a perennial power, not going to be an easy game.
No, they have a really good football team down there. It's not quite the traditional look that they've had where they've been kind of the double wing T look. You know, a lot of under center fullback trap coming at you over and over again, but they have some really good athletes and their offense looks a little bit similar to ours. and they do a lot of really good things. And defensively, look, they look pretty similar to us as well. And we need to be strapped up and ready to go when we go down there, because they're going to come out firing right away. And, you know, that's kind of part of the reason why we've talked the last few weeks, even when we're playing teams that we know that we're, you know, would be favored against, is that, hey, we got to get better, because we got these 2 weeks, and then we got two real football games that are really important, not just because it's a good teams, but also because it's about playoff seeding. It's about proving to ourselves and everybody else that we can compete in our class and that we're a legitimate team that has a chance to do something special. So I think our kids, especially this week, really kind of took that to heart and understood, all right, this isn't necessarily just about Roncalli. It's also about getting better so that we can go out and compete and have a chance to win our last 2 weeks of the season.
How important is getting off to a good start? Because in a lot of these games, you find yourself, and we go back to the Del Rapids game, it was 16-0 before you basically turned around. How important is it to get off to a good start and not get down two scores almost immediately?
Oh, well, it's just incredibly important. It's one of those things where you can't allow a mistake early in the game like this to give yourself a bad start to the game. You got to be ready to go and start out fast, because the other team's going to start fast and they're going to keep going at that same pace the whole game. So that's kind of, you know, just baked into that. You got to be ready to play 48 minutes of good football.
Have you already started breaking down film for them, or is that what this week's and this weekend's going to be about?
So I'm a bit of a film junkie, and just with the way the 11A is set up, like, we kind of get film from everybody in our class every week. And I, you know, breaking it down probably isn't the right word, but I go and watch what everybody's doing every week. And yeah, I've kind of peeked at some things, obviously a little bit more focused on Roncalli and Webster the last couple of weeks, but you know, you always watch and just kind of, especially when you see a score that you're curious about, like, well, I'm at least going to run through this game and see kind of what happened.
So West Central's 2 losses on the season, 5-2 to Sioux Falls Christian, 24-0. And also they lost at Del Rapids, looks like last week, 21-20. So a very, very close game there. Looks like that one came down to maybe a missed extra point or failed 2-point conversion, one of the two anyway. So very close loss to Del Rapids. Hitting the road, going on the road for them. Obviously, the health of the team just kind of pops into my head. These 2 games, possibly a playoff game. How's the health of the team heading into this big stretch?
Well, we're doing pretty good. We've kind of been missing Ryan Keaton the last 2 weeks. He got injured in practice, unfortunately, but the way it sounds, we're pretty hopeful that we're going to have him back. Other than that, I mean, other than, you know, just kind of some lingering dings and scrapes and stuff like that you just kind of get, you know, after 7 games of football, it's just the way it is. You're never going to come out of there just feeling 100% across the board. But health-wise, I feel like we've done a really good job of, you know, kind of maintaining where we're at all season. We really haven't had, you know, knock on wood, we really haven't had any of the big injuries that maybe we even saw last year where, you know, we were lost Leighton Zalski for 6 weeks after the first game.
So without giving anything away, just in case anybody's listening to the stream at BigStoneRadio.com, this week, could we see maybe a new wrinkle, a trick play, maybe a gadget or two coming up?
Well,
don't give away too much, though. We, you know, this is public broadcasting. You never know who's listening.
Well, you know, every week you try to put kind of something, a new package in, or add a couple wrinkles to things that you're doing already, and just trying to, you know, just something that if you get a certain look, like, all right, now we have something that we can go to immediately when we see this type of formation or something like that, or defensive look. And we've had some of those things ready to go for most of the season. It's just, you know, we just haven't really pulled the trigger on it. So I guess offensively, I'm probably a little bit conservative when it comes to things like that. I'd probably spend more time working on our base. Like, we need to be able to run these things in order to set that thing up. And, you know, we've had some of that stuff ready to go all season. We've just kind of been waiting for the opportune time to use it, you know.
No, I'm reading between the lines. I understand completely what you're saying. Absolutely. And I think everybody does too. Look out for the gadget plays, the old hook and ladder. No, I'm just, well, doing to see what's going to happen. Again, we'll have coverage for you again this coming Friday. Should be a good one. Pair of 5-2 teams, Milbank at West Central, 7 p.m. The Kick here on KMSD video audio stream, BigStoneRadio.com, and on our YouTube page. Again, Coach, congratulations on the win. Congratulations on the winning season. Best of luck Friday, and we'll break it down next Saturday.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
I believe we talk a little volleyball. Coach Hookie next. 10:14 KMSD. We talk volleyball. Coach Nancy Hookie, again, the only coach who graces us with her presence in studio live.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
It's good to see you. How you been? How's life in the world of volleyball goodness?
Oh, we had a week off, so refreshed and ready to go. Yeah.
So what did you work on in that week off? Lots
to work on. Worked on some right side attacking and communication, just bettering our communication to hopefully better the overall game. But we really pushed for those kinds of things. We did some statting on the whiteboard. We have a whiteboard where we laid out those breakdown of stats. Like, this is part of the problem is we're a negative kill percent. We're making more errors than we're getting kills. And so let them, you know, visually see that in a couple of drills and work on improving it each time we go through it. So
for the people who obviously aren't a coach or knows the ins and outs of volleyball, why would you say that is, that you're making more errors? Just over-aggressiveness? Just what would be the reason why?
Yeah, I would like to get inside the girls' head sometimes and ask why you keep making that same swing.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, we're telling them we need to ease up. We need to keep the ball out front more so we can snap it down and not overrun it and hit it out the back. If it's not a great set, we need to make an adjustment so you're not just making that same hard swing every time. And sometimes that's what it looks like they're doing, is making that same hard swing every time. But then as soon as they ease up, then we say, hey, don't do that either, because that's too easy for the other team. So I'm sure it sends a mixed message. So time to, you know, really drill that and talk about those things hopefully gives them a more better idea of options that they can use and what we're trying to say, and then gives me an idea, like you just asked, what they are thinking and how to maybe tell it to them in a different way or show them in a different way.
So hit it hard, but not too hard.
I know, it sounds like you couldn't coach that.
All right, exactly, yeah. So what brief breakdown of the week that was, because I know you didn't have a whole bunch, which is kind of good this time of the year to work on stuff.
Yep, it was a good break for sure. We played Dewbrook on Tuesday night, and came out just too slow. We scored, or it was 9-25, and then 19-25 and 19-25. So second two sets, not too bad, but that first one is rather disappointing to come out that slow and just not be ready to play, I guess, not be effective. So it's good to see them come back and fight back and get into a better playing mode in the second two sets. Dewbrook had a couple of left-handers, and, you know, that's something, too, that we need to make sure we're watching the other side of the net. We're seeing what they're doing. We're seeing the players that they have. Obviously, a left-hander, you have to block a little differently than a right-hander, or you read them as a defensive player better. So making sure we see those things and realize those types of players that they have. So that was tough because the left-hander gets set more on the right side of the court. So the right side defense is just a different angle, different look, and it's just more difficult. That's why we have been working on our right side attacks, because we don't have any left-handers, but just coming out of that side of the net, it's a high percentage of the time it's a kill, even if it's not a great hit. So
it's difficult in any sport when you're dealing with left-handers, whether baseball, it doesn't matter. You're just not used to seeing that.
Yeah, different
right?
look. Yep.
Right? Absolutely. So that's the only – so
yep.
We've got, what, a couple weeks before regions, about 3 weeks?
I think so. I haven't jumped that far ahead yet, but not till that very end of October, first of November. So we kind of get back in the busy volleyball mode this week, starting on Tuesday.
Yeah, your break is over.
That's right. There's no school Monday, but we will practice later in the afternoon and get ready for the week again.
Yeah, versus Madison, who is 12-7, then against TZ coming up on the 16th. That would be a Thursday. They are 3-16, so that's a winnable match for you.
Definitely.
And then we have ourselves the Milbank tournament coming up a week from today. Can we talk about that? What's going to happen there? I got the email from Mr. Schooler. You're looking for lines.
Oh, yeah.
Judges?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Want to be a part of the officials crew and
right.
Do some line judging and those kinds of things. So I'm going to mention on Tuesday night against Madison, it is our pink night. Okay. So we're going to have some extra things there in the lobby. They sell some pink shirts, have pink beads. Those are always popular. If you're wearing pink, you can put your name in a drawing to win a pink goodie bag with some fun stuff in it. And then we have some pink drinks, some Bulldog drinks for sale that we saw at one of the other teams when we played there that seemed kind of popular. So we're going to give that a try as well. So it should be a fun night, and for Bulldogs Fighting Cancer, putting that on, and all proceeds will go to Bulldogs Fighting Cancer toward that cancer walk at the end of that season. Our Madison C game starts at 4:30, so a little earlier start, just to make everybody aware that we go earlier with Madison.
Okay.
Our travel time. So, and then Thursday, there is not a C game with TZ. They don't have a C team. We might put a scrimmage together between our C players, so stay tuned for that. Otherwise, the JV match starts at 6 o'clock on that Thursday. And then getting to our tournament. It's an 8-team tournament. So we have Groton, Beresford, Sioux Valley, Mobridge, Wilmot, Sisseton, GPL, and us. And we've played a few of those teams. We'll be playing Groton yet in our regular season, but a couple of teams that we haven't played either. So working the brackets out, and they should come out Sunday, I think, when the seedings are done for the week, to see how we want to set that up.
It's interesting because other sports don't play these huge, long days of volleyball. I would imagine that it's quite a bit different than just a regular match.
Yeah, it is.
Pace yourself. The sets are usually shorter, aren't they? 2 out of 3?
Correct. We go 2 out of 3. They're still all 3 to 25. That's a rule the state made a few years ago. Is the third one can't go to 15. It needs to go to 25. So it's more comparable, I guess. But yeah, the matches start at 9 a.m. And the last ones, I think, are scheduled for 5 and maybe 4, hopefully done by 5:30, 6 o'clock. But it is a lot, especially if you end up playing back-to-back, which could happen. So like to have other players available, getting in the game, give some rests in there so that, you know, everybody gets their break, stays as fresh as they can, and no injuries happen, of course, either, just because of tired and fatigue. But it is just kind of a different animal when we do those versus your regular match night.
Schedule's interesting. Obviously, two matches this week and then the big tournament. And then just kind of looking here, I was on the GoBound site from the 18th, which is next Saturday, to the time the regions start on November 4th. You're only going to have 2 matches. So you're going to have a lot of time to practice and work on some stuff.
Yeah,
good thing or bad thing, or it is what it is?
Yeah, it is what it is. You just kind of get used to that schedule and know that it gives us more time to do some scouting and some breaking down of other teams, too, and looking at their tendencies for offense and defensive side of things, which just don't get a lot of time to do that when you have so many matches in a week and you don't have that information out there available to you so much like college does, or maybe football does when they talk about sharing film and things.
Right.
So it does give us more time to break it down and work on things like that, which is kind of fun to dig a little deeper into your opponent And then when they see things happen, they're like, oh, yeah, we worked on that. We know what to do here. So it's a good thing. And like you say, it just is what it is. We get used to that from year to year.
And it's nice to be on a long homestand right now. You got home, and then home, and then home, and home again, and staying home and not having to travel. That's nice.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, we love our road trips, and we like that time together, but obviously getting home later and not having to worry about that, there's some benefit to that, and our home crowd and our home environment is a positive and definitely should be helpful to our matches as we play them.
See, I would get cranky because I wouldn't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No time for being cranky.
Right, that's right. Absolutely.
I know. I always ask the girls, well, are you tired or how you doing? And yeah, they're tired, but they push through and they just...
They're young. They're young, though. Come on, now. You
get saying tired. I'm old?
Yeah, no. I would never say that. No, I would just say that, you know, I remember kind of what it's like to be in high school. It was a long, long time ago for me. But yeah. All you needed is a good night's sleep back then. That's all you needed, and you'd be fine.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're taking naps on these days off. Like today, they're getting a nap in if they're not at Hobo Days, because our band did go to Hobo Days. But they sneak those naps in or get those extra Z's when they can. But
got to get your rest. Very important. Again, busy volleyball week. Looking forward to breaking down. Looks like we'll have to record probably on Friday, so I'll be in touch with that. In the meantime, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for the time.
We put a bow on the tennis season coming up next. We continue along. Coach's Corner, the tennis finale for 20. It's hard to believe already. It's October 11th, but it's time to wrap up the tennis season. Coach Abby Trapp is on line one. Coach, we appreciate you jumping on one last time for the fall. Thank you so much for making some time for us each and every week on Coach's Corner.
Thanks for having me every weekend.
So we put a wrap on the season. A couple of young ladies did very well at the state tournament, I must say.
Yes, I am very pleased with our results of the state tournament.
So let's get into the results for people who may have missed the sports earlier in the week.
Okay, yeah, so let's start with doubles, because at the state tournament on the first day, we always play doubles first, and then we go into singles. And the doubles was phenomenal this year. We had two huge upsets right away at number one doubles, winning against Huron. And then another huge upset was at number two doubles with Ashlyn and Charlotte. They beat Vermilion. We were the last seed in number two doubles, and we beat the number six seed Vermilion in the straight set. So it was super exciting that we pulled off that win. And then number three doubles, you know, lost first round and got into the consolation championship, but then just lost to STM by a couple points on Tuesday. But number one dub, so like I said, they won against Huron. And then we played Sioux Falls Christian, lost to them closely, which dropped us to the fifth and sixth place semis. And they lost in a set tiebreaker to St. Thomas More. Number two doubles, their second round was Sioux Falls Christian. They took them to a third set, which is phenomenal. And then they lost to Lennox in the fifth, sixth semis as well. But to lose to Huron, Sioux Falls Christian, STM in tiebreakers, you're talking about the top three teams possibly in the state, and we were right there with them competing. So I was pretty darn excited Monday morning going into Monday afternoon with those upsets, and the girls were super excited coming off the court. And I told them, just go have fun, believe in yourself, lay it all on the court, and everyone did that, so they were pretty happy that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Saving their best tennis for last, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, they absolutely did, and, you know, we did some different strategies going into Monday, and they were all coachable, and it was really fun to see them take our strategies that we had been working on and implement them in the match.
Yeah, good all-around tournament, not only for the doubles, singles, really just a solid, solid tournament.
Yes. And then on Monday afternoon, we go in to singles play, and I'm just going to go player by player because it's a little easier for me. Number one singles is Jenna Korshen. She was seeded number 4 overall in the state tournament, which her and I were like, whew, that's really cool. That's probably one of the highest seeds in a while that we've had in Milbank. And so she got a first round bye, and then she had to play Rapid City Christian, another school that I believe they play second in the state this year. She lost to them in a close match, but then came back in the fifth and sixth place semis and won against Spearfish to play for fifth and sixth place. And she lost to Pier in a 2.5 hour match on Tuesday for fifth place.
Wow.
So she had a phenomenal season. You know, I talked to her after and she goes, you know, last year I placed 9th, this year I placed 6th, and so she's like, each year I keep improving. So she was so excited with where she ended in the state tournament. Ashlyn Lamp is number 2 single. She had a great senior tournament as well. You know, she lost to Lennox, and Lennox player is a very, I've talked to their coach, she's an athlete. She's one of their best basketball players and track runners in Lennox, and so she's just all over the court. So Ashley gave her a run for the money there, and then we lost to Pier in the next match. But Ashlyn fought so hard for each of her points and games, so I was very pleased with her outcome. Number 3 singles is Peyton Lamp, and she had a huge first win against Madison. Peyton was ranked number 10 overall, and so she played the number 7 Madison, and she lost, I believe, 0-6, 0-6 in the regular season to her, and she won in straight sets at the state tournament against her. She then had to play Sioux Falls Christian, which, you know, she got 2 games the first set and then 4 games the second set, so that's huge to win a total of 6 games over a private school like that. And then she just fell short to Huron in the 5th-6th semis. Number 4 is Charlotte Swanson. She had a nice win over Roncalli first round, lost to Sioux Falls Christian in the second round, but in a tiebreaker. And to get the number 1 team who's won state how many years and has all of them placed number 1 or 2 in the state, to get them to a tiebreaker was phenomenal. She won a tiebreaker the next match against Spearfish to get to the 5th and 6th place placing, and then just fell short to Vermillion, but was right there with all her matches. Number 5 is Caitlin Frerick. She lost first round, but then won her second round against Spearfish to get to the semi-consolation championship, and then lost to Madison. And then my number 6 is Bree Hicks. She fought hard. She lost both matches on the first day, but put up a good fight against her opponent. So overall, we ended the season with 119.5 team wins. So I'm really excited with that. And I'm really just excited how much effort and how well they did overall, especially those first round matches that were upsets. And it was just great coming into the tournament with those.
So, Coach, what's coming back, and what do you have departing from the tennis team for graduations heading into next season?
Yeah, so I have 2 seniors, so I'm going to have Ashlyn Lamp leaving, my number 2 singles, and she plays number 2 doubles. And then Callie is one of my top JV players. She is also a senior. So I'm really only losing 2 seniors, and I had a team of 22. So I have 20 girls coming back next season.
With a lot of experience and hopefully being able to build off such a good state tournament heading into next year.
Yeah, I think the girls are all excited. You know, we have one-on-one meetings and we talk like, now's the time to not put down the racket, to continue hitting, taking some lessons, going to play USTA tournaments to improve your game on the off season. And they're all excited with how we did at the state, so they're excited to put the work in the off season.
Yes, dead of January, we want to see you out playing tennis in the middle of the snow. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, honestly, if there's no snow, I would guarantee that we will be putting up a net playing tennis outside.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Just bundle it up a little bit.
Coach. That's right. You know, it's boy season, right? Like, right. I coached in the boy season in my winter gear the first half, so why not?
Right, right. Coach, we appreciate you jumping on each and every Saturday. Congratulations on a wonderful state tournament. Looking forward to covering you again next year. Keep up the great work, and thank you again for joining us every week.
Thank you so much for having me.
10:36, we'll wrap up the golf season next. 10:39 on a Saturday morning, it is Coach's Corner. We wrapped up the tennis season, now we wrap up the golf season. Coach Keaton on line one. Coach, appreciate you jumping on each and every Saturday. Thank you for joining us one last time on Coach's Corner.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Thank you for having me.
So we had a couple golfers that we have to talk about for the state tournament that competed this past Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll start off with Thomas Bass. I'm looking at it right now. We had about 104 golfers there. Thomas ended up in 60th place, so he was right around the middle of the pack, which I thought was great. If you look at Thomas's season, I think he averaged a 102 going into the region tournament. If you took out his highest meet, he was at like a 98, but, you know, 102 average going into the regions, and then he shot 89 at regions, 89 first round at the state tournament. He shot a 94 the second day. But when you look at his 94, his dad was keeping some stats, and he had 10 more putts than day one. So, you know, that's why that score went up. They also had some more they had difficult pin placements on day two, but, you know, nothing but positive things to say about Thomas and the way he finished the year, and hopefully this will light a fire to get better and want to make the state tournament next year.
Yeah, so before we get into Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about his improvement. What was the key of him getting so much better from the beginning of the season?
Yeah. You know, especially these last three meets, the regions and two days at state tournament, he was able to avoid that big number. Now, on day two, he had a big number, but eliminating that big number, and then, you know, his short game definitely improved right there at the end of the year. He was, you know, getting up and down more, chipping it up within 5 feet, making the putt, and, you know, the putter got a little warmer, but probably the biggest thing was avoiding the big number that, you know, it can really hurt the card. You look at the score and you're like, oh, I shot a 98, but if I could play those two holes over with, it'd probably go down 10 strokes. So that was a big improvement for him.
Then we go to we got a top 10 finisher, looks like, in the state tournament.
Yeah, I mean, we can start out. This is Jonathan's fourth time placing at state, third time inside the top 10. You know, day one maybe didn't go as planned for Jonathan. He was actually sitting at 30th place after day one, I believe. But, you know, he really skyrocketed up the leaderboard on day two. The low round on day two was a 69 by the champion from St. Thomas More. But Jonathan and a kid from Roncalli Harper Schnabel had the second lowest score on day two of the 72. They played, he played solid. They had some tough pin placements. But, you know, second best round on day two was, and he shot up the leaderboard.
Yeah. Did I see correctly? Cause I usually just focus on the Milbank golfers, but did I see that the winning golfer shot a minus six?
He did. And, wow. With those pin placements, that's pretty impressive. I think I read a little thing on him, and he said he was really rolling the rock really well heading into the state tournament. But, yeah, I mean, he won by seven. Just a pretty impressive 69-69.
Yeah, that's incredible for high school golf. That's I don't know too many golfers with scratch handicaps that wouldn't take that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody going there with a scratch handicap would take that. No issues.
So, Coach, what do you got coming back, and what are you losing from graduation?
Well, we lose, obviously, Jonathan, who had a tremendous career here at Milbank. You know, just some highlights. He had a hole in one in Siston 1 year. He was a two-time NEC champion, two-time region champion. He finished in the he placed freshman through senior year at the state tournament, three top tens. His best finish was his junior year, tied for third. He made the all-tournament team. And then we lose Jesus Padilla, who just came out his junior year. You know, he's the one we talked about that he's only been playing golf left-handed for 1 year. But then we have Thomas coming back to ask, and we have three other guys that, you know, pretty much made every tournament this year. So hopefully they'll put the time in this summer and want to and do what Thomas did this year and qualify for the state tournament next year.
Absolutely. Coach, we appreciate you jumping on each and every Saturday. Best of luck to you. I know you do golf in the spring for the ladies. And in the meantime, before we have a chance to talk again next year, thank you so much and have a great fall, winter, and then we'll, I guess we'll talk again next August.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a nice spring for the girls this year.
1045, let's talk a little cross country. Coach Townsend next. All right, 1047 KMSD. We talk with Coach Townsend, a little cross country to wrap up Coach's Corner. Coach, always good to have you on the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the week that was for the Milbank cross country team.
Yeah, on Thursday we had the Northeast Conference meet over in Webster, running against the conference school, seeing if we can bring home a conference title, team and individual. I'll go with the boys first. Boys ended up in second to Duel. Duel had 29, we had 30, so we lost to them by 1 point, kind of disappointing. We knew going in it was going to be a battle between us and Duel, and it was. Just kind of fell on the wrong end of the deal there and probably didn't run our best race of the season as a team on the boys' side, but still we're in contention there to win it. Individually for us, Jeter Schooler was the NEC champion. He won by about 20 seconds. We got a string here, a boys' champion. I think it goes back 8 years. He's the fourth guy. 8 years we've had the individual champion on the boys' side, so that's pretty cool to kind of continue that streak for us. In seventh place was Liam Heller. He was the second guy in for us. Franco Flores had a really good race. He was in ninth place. We had three in the top 10. Beckenberry was 14th. Bennett Graham was 15th. So we had we had five guys in the top 15, which we kind of figured we were hoping would be a little higher up than that, but still to have five guys in the top 15 is outstanding. And then our sixth guy was Rylan Wendlin, who's kind of coming back from injury. He was in 36th place for us. Came in kind of hoping that we knew we'd be in a battle with Duel for the team championship and just kind of fell one place short. Like I kind of told the guys, we probably didn't run our best race and still we're in the hunt. So hopefully we can contend next week with the same team at the region meet. On the girls side, I ended up in third. Knew it was going to be a battle between Clark, Ron Colley, and us. And, again, we kind of fell on the wrong end of that as well. But it was close. Clark, probably the team to beat. And we knew we were kind of right there with Ron Colley. Clark ended up winning the meet with 29. Ron Colley had 34, and we had 36. So, really, you had three teams separated by 7 points, which really isn't that much. Individually for us, Ella Copeland was fifth. She outkicked the Clark girl, which was a big swing in our favor to get us closer. Bianca Berry was 7th. Macy Mueller was 11th. Ashlyn Batchelor was 14th. Tabitha McFadden was 17th. Paola Kuhak-Segunda was 18th. So we had our top 6 in the top 18, which is really good. I think the girls' conference is a little bit stronger than the boys, so I thought that was really good for our girls. And then our 7th girl just missed top 20. Halen Schneck was in 21st. We're a little disappointed that we got a little bit lower than we wanted, but we're right there, and if we just can kind of run a little bit better next week, then we'll be in a position where we want to be for a region title or, for sure getting in the top three at the region meet next week.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, and you answered my question, how many teams make the state tournament? Three?
Yep. Top three teams and top 20 individuals make the state qualifying out of the region next Wednesday.
So looks like it's Wednesday at what time? Pretty early in the day, right? 1 o'clock or 11?
11 a.m. Yeah, the Region 1B year on the same day. They kind of alternate who's on that. They kind of started that kind of last year, this year. We're at 11, and then I believe the Region 1B is at 1. So, yeah, it'll be the same teams from the conference. You throw in Florence Henry, Great Plains Lutheran, and Tri-State, who have some runners. I don't know if they have any of those teams are going to be good enough to be top three teams. They could, but I think it's going to be kind of the same NEC schools that'll be in the top three, kind of battling for those top three spots on Wednesday in Webster.
You know, we talked about kind of nagging injuries all season long. How's the health of the team going into the regions, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but it's probably going to be better than it was last week. You know, we had a lot of on both sides, boys and girls, that had kind of taken a couple weeks off, but they kind of got another race in. Hopefully we're, you know, another week into this. And, you know, as we kind of practiced yesterday, I felt like it wasn't great, but it was better than what I had anticipated. So, yeah, I mean, we're not perfect. I don't think anybody's in a perfect spot. You're just kind of hoping that you can be running your best and healthy. Some kids won't be able to compete just because of injury, but kind of the core of who ran last week should be able to, you know, compete for a top three in the region and top 20 individuals.
You know, we talk about the weather so much, and obviously it's been just so warm. Wednesday's forecast, mostly sunny, mid to upper 50s. That's going to be quite the difference of what you've run in pretty much the whole season.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. There's no doubt. We'll take the cooler weather, and we're running in the morning, so you're saying the high of 50s. It might potentially be in the 40s when we're running an 11.
Right.
Which for the athlete is good. For the fan, maybe you got to bundle up a little bit more. But yeah, it'll be good to get cooler weather. I think you'll see some faster times and some improvements as long as the wind isn't blowing. And yeah, hopefully we can have our best races of the season and hopefully continue with both teams qualifying for the state meet.
Absolutely. Coach, we appreciate it as always. Thank you so much. Looking forward to breaking it down next Saturday. Best of luck in the regions, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.